expanding the topic on the time of product as the condition, as the most important condition. From the lecture, can we deduce that the threat of having to know the exact time of growth for the world from the time of the sun rising and measuring all these things, make sure that one doesn't make any mistakes. Is that what Allah is referring to as a half Israel for the world? So do you have any connection with it? And we'd like to also appreciate light on which Salah is actually Salah the Wusta.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهديه الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد أيها الإخوة في الله السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Now on the question concerning the verse حافظوا على الصلوات, meaning you should be punctual with the صلوات. Does that mean the stress gone through in the process of trying to know the time of Salah? This is what is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is referring to. In response to that, the verse Hafizu ala Salawat, meaning you should not pray before the time. You try to know the appropriate time to pray. And do not delay the Salawat beyond their prescribed time, unless if you among those that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala excuses in one way or the other. So you have to stick to the timing of Salah. You shouldn't pray before the time, and you should not delay a particular Salah till its time goes out. So the one who does this is doing muhafaza ala Salah. Is doing al-muhafaza ala Salah. And we are expected to do that. So this is the meaning of the verse حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ. This is the meaning of the statement of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ كَانَتْ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ كِتَابًا مَوْقُوتًا. So that's why the scholars say any salah observed before its time without a genuine reason or a new excuse that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sanctions, the salah is invalid. And we know you cannot observe salatu subh, for instance, before its time, no matter the condition. You can't observe salatu subh before its time. Likewise, you can't observe salatu zuhr before its time. You cannot observe salatu maghrib before its time. Now you can observe Salatul Isha before a normal time if you have one excuse or the other. And this is what we call jam'u. That is, you try to combine Salatul Maghrib and Salatul Al-Isha, bringing Salatul Isha to the time of Salatul Maghrib, or delaying Salatul Maghrib till the time of Salatul Isha. So if one has a genuine excuse, this may be accepted. The same thing can be said of delaying Salatul Zuhr till the time of Asri, or bringing Salatul Asri to the time of Salatul Zuhr, if there is a new excuse. So you cannot observe a Salah before its time, unless if that Salah is a Salah that is combinable with the Salah that comes before it, like Asri or Isha, to which you can watch observe Salatu Al-Zuhr, or you can observe Salatu Isha with Salatu al-Maghrib if there is the new excuse for that. Because both salat are combinable. That is, Zuhr and Asri are combinable. Maghrib and Isha are also combinable. So al-Muhafadu ala salawat is something that is important. Now, with respect to the question, which one is Salatul Wusta? Scholars, they talk at length on this, but the most correct opinion is that Salatul Al-Wusta is Salatul Asr. So, as we have it in our authentic hadith, where Salatul Asr was mentioned, Hafidhu ala Salawat, and what? Salatul Wusta said what? Salatul Asr. Salatul Wusta is what? Salatul Al-Asr. So this is an authentic hadith, and this is the Wadiya or the Wadiya's position with respect to As-Salatul Wusta. And that is why we have written a hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man fatathu Salatul Asr, faka annama utira ahla. The one who misses Salatul Asr is like the person has lost his family. Telling us about the importance of Salatul Asr. Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also said, Mala Allahu kubur al-qawm naran. Kubur al-qawm naran fakushagaluna an salat al-wusta salat al-asr. So all these are pointed as the fact that Salatu al-asr is Salatu al-wusta. So Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reincarnates on the idolaters that did not allow them or that did not make them pray Salatul Asr at the right time. Then Salatul Khawf and its aw had not been revealed. So it was after this incident that Salatul Khawf was revealed, how the Muslims would pray when we were in state of fear. So Allah A'lam. Question. نعم الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله أباش. Bowing and greeting for somebody or prostrating, is it shirk that takes one out of the fold of Islam, or it is ordinary haram, or we say it is shirk asghar? Now, bowing to greet somebody is against the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yes, in the previous Sharia, this was allowed, to bow to greet somebody. Like in the Sharia of Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, it was permissible to bow to greet somebody. But in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasalam, this was prohibited. Now some scholars argue that is it possible for something to be shirk at a particular time and what not to be shirk at another time. So some scholars have said this is not possible. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah ta'ala talked about this, that something could not be shirk at a particular time, then it will be what? It will be shirk at another point. So they use this to tell us that bowing to greet somebody is not a shirk that takes one out of the fold of Islam. Rather, it is haram. in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But in the previous Sharia, it was permissible to bow to beat somebody. Yes, we have a lot of things that were permissible and later were forbidden, or that were forbidden and later were permissible. But can that go to the extent of what shirk being, something being shirk at a particular time and being what? Not being shirk or being something that is permissible at another time. So these some scholars, they argue that this is not possible. So it can be haram at a particular time and what be halal or jais at another time. So bowing during the time of Prophet Yaqub alayhi salatu wasalam, Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, was permissible. And that was why the brothers of Prophet Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, they all bowed for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. How this is clear. So, but in the Sharia of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it became haram to do that. So the one who bow for somebody, such a person, has committed a sin if he bows to greet somebody. But if he bows to worship somebody, this is what shirk. This is shirk. He bows to greet somebody. This is what shirk. He bows to greet somebody. This is haram. This is haram. So we have to differentiate between the two. Now, if somebody bows to greet a human being, this is what we are talking about. The one who bows to greet a non-living thing, for instance. So can that be greeting? No. You can't greet a non-living thing. So definitely that is what? Something of worship. So you can bow to greet human being, though in the previous Sharia, but now it's not permissible, it's haram. So and that's why the one who is bowing to greet somebody and the one who is bowing for a staff or so, these are two different things. Bowing for staff, this is kufr. Unless if one is forced to do it, maybe at gunpoint or something like that. But for you to willingly bow, or for you to say because you are looking for one worldly thing, you bow for a known human object, this is what? This is kufr. This is kufr. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ إِسْتَحَبُّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَعْدِ الْكُمَا رَوْلِمِنْ أَصُرُ. So, this Allah was talking about those that the one who commits kufr, that the person will not be pardoned except the one who is forced to do that. Except the one who is forced to do that. وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرْحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. But the one who is pleased to do that, the one who is pleased to do it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, such a person, there is going to be a great punishment for him. Allah says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ إِسْتَحَبُّ الْحَيَاةَ الدُّنْيَا عَلَى الْآخِرَةِ. This is because they prefer the worldly life to the hereafter. They prefer the worldly life to the hereafter. So, but if somebody says he vows to greet an elderly person, we say what? You have committed haram. You have committed haram. We say you have committed shirk. But if you believe that that person deserves it as if he's worshipping a thing, then in that case it becomes shirk. Allah. Now fasting on behalf of somebody. When does one do that? When does one fast on behalf of another person? Now somebody in the month of Ramadan falls sick, he cannot fast. And the person after the month of Ramadan lives for some time. He has become well, so he lives for some time. So such a person is the one that you say you can fast on his or her behalf. However, there are some scholars who have the opinion that you don't do that. except in fasting or vow. Except in fasting or vow. This is the view of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. And he based the argument on what Aisha radiallahu anha said on that matter, that the one who vows to such a person, they can fast on Isra or Abiyah. But the one who misses the fasting of Ramadan, for instance, so this they won't fast on behalf of the person. So that is the fasting that will be fasted on behalf of the person. So I shall align here, let us know that what is that of Nadru. But that is not Nadru, so it is what it arm is to feed on behalf of that person. So a similar thing is reported from Abdullah ibn Abbas and Raja Allah anhu. So this is the view of Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala. However, a lot of scholars are of the opinion that they can also fast that of Ramadan. They can fast, not compulsion. They can fast that of Ramadan. So this is the view of Ibn Taymiyyah, Ibn Qayyim, and many other scholars. So the same thing they said about Salah as well. As for Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, he supports that of Hajj, that we can do that, and we can do Hajj on behalf of somebody. But for fasting, so it is only fasting of Nadru, the fasting of vow that you can do. Take what somebody says, if Allah make me succeed in this business, I'm going to fast for a month. So this is what? That is, I promise Allah that if I succeed in this business, I'm going to fast for a month. So this is what? Nadru. So this type of Nadru, then the relative encouraged to fast on his behalf. Why is it that of Ramadan? So they said it is what? It's haram. It is, it's haram. Based on what Aisha radiallahu anha said. Don't forget, I said, the one who is in Ramadan, for instance, sick, and after Ramadan, he has become well, meaning he has had the ability to watch, to fast. But since the next Ramadan hasn't come in, this is what we are, so meaning the person is owing. But one who is sick in the month of Ramadan and dies immediately after Ramadan, no time, but a person, the person is not on him. The fasting is not on him. Allah wa'ala.
Maybe
Now the first thing that falls asleep and the time of Zuhr goes out, so it doesn't wake up until the time for Asr. So while he's observing a Salatul Zuhr, somebody thinks he's praying Salatul Asr. The person joins in, and after he has finished, the person is still on. Maybe the person meets him in the second rakah, for instance. So the person is on, completing his own remaining rakah. So can the person who hasn't prayed Salatul Asr, that is, who has just observed his own Salatul Zuhr, can he join the person that has prayed behind him before? Yes. According to the stronger opinion, there is nothing wrong in this. What is more correct is that you can pray fardu behind another person that is praying fard. So contrary to some of the madhahib, who are of the opinion that the one who is praying fard cannot pray, cannot lead another person that is praying another fard. So when you saw about the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal radiallahu anhu, that we pray behind the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Salatul Isha, and you go to his family, his own tribe, he will go and lead them in Salatul Isha. He will go and lead them in Salatul Isha. If it's Nafila, and theirs will be what? Will be part. The response of the scholars also, you can't do that, is that it was not the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that approved what Mu'adh bin Jabal would do, what he would do. It wasn't the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that approved it. So then it was not mentioned according to them in the hadith that each will be what? Will be nafila, theirs will be fault. Though there is a hadith that clearly stated that each will be nafila and theirs will be fault. So, and this makes the position of those who say you can pray behind somebody who is observing nafila. You pray fard behind somebody who is observing nafila. So if nafila can bear fard, then what is logical is that fard should be able to bear fard. But those scholars, they argue that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the majlis of imam, the yu'tamma bihi, the imam is made that what that is followed, is emulated. So at the end of the hadith said what? Fala takhtalifu alayhi. So do not engage in ikhtilaf on the imam. So if you are observing Salatu Zuhr and the imam is observing Salatu Al-Asr, there is ikhtilaf in niyyah. There is ikhtilaf in what in your niyyah. So and this is the reason why the Hanabila and some have said no. But as for the Shafi'iyya, they are of the opinion that one can do this. And this is the view of Al-Imam al-Shafi'i, rahimahullah ta'ala. And Nawawi in Al-Majmu' also emphasized this. Likewise, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah ta'ala, in some of his fatawa also supported this. Shaykh Al-Albani ibn Baz ibn Uthaymeen, they all supported that you can pray behind an imam with a different intention. Based on the hadith of Mu'adh bin Jabal, and based on the hadith that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam led people during Salatul Khawf, he led some people in two rak'ah and he made tasbih. He led another group in two rak'ah, which was a nafila, and those people just was the fard. They use it as evidence as well. So those who say you can't, they say no, that is in khawf, in what? In fear. So you cannot do qiyas of this and this. Wallahu alam, what is more correct is that one can pray the answer to the person. Wallahu alam.
At that point, is there allowed to denounce Islam if one is told to do so? How can we determine the time of Salatul Asr from the Shadow? With the Shadow?
With respect to the question, how can we determine Salatul Asr, the timing of Salatul Asr with the Shadow, I think this has been explained in details in one of the previous lectures. So I will advise the questioner to go back to that lecture. Now, with respect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, "Man yakfur bil iman min ba'di man yakfur." No, what I'm trying to remember the beginning of the verse. إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِيَ وَقَلْبُهُ مُطْمَئِنٌ بِالْإِيمَانِ وَلَكِنْ مَنْ شَرَعَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا فَعَلِيهِ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. So what begins the verse is what I'm trying to recollect. Okay, the one who is forced to denounce Islam at gunpoint, so such a person has a genuine excuse. So as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the one who commits kufru, so إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان, except the one who is forced to do kufr. وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان, why his heart is something that that is sure and certain about an iman. So such a person has a different skill. The one who is compelled to do kufru. So, but when we say somebody is compelled to do kufru, this should not be understood to mean somebody is looking for a way of increasing his livelihood, things like that. Somebody who wants to get a better job and the person has to do kufru. So this is not allowed. And that's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, illa man ukriya wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. Yes, man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi. So that's the beginning of the verse. من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرع بالكفر صدرا فعليه غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم ذلك بأنه مستحب الحياة الدنيا على الآخرة وأن الله لا يعذب قوم الكافرين وأن الله لا يعذب قوم الكافرين. So the one who prefers the worldly life to the hereafter. So you don't mind to do kufru in order to protect the worldly life. Apart from what, the issue that the person's life is being threatened by somebody, at gunpoint or anything. But the one who is trying towards to increase his livelihood, such a person has no excuse. So the verse, the second verse, explains what is meant by the first, by the previous one. من كفر بالله من بعد إيمانه إلا من أكره وقلبه مطمئن بالإيمان ولكن من شرع بالكفر صدرا فعلم غضب من الله ولهم عذاب عظيم ذلك بأنه استحب الحياة الدنيا الآخرة وأن الله لا يهدي القوم الكافرين. So I think it's clear. Now we say at one point or at anything somebody's life is threatened. Somebody wants to kill one, and I say, what? Hope for Allah, do kufr with Allah. So this verse was revealed with respect to Ammar bin Yasir, رضي الله عنه, as Al-Imam al-Tabari and some others recorded in the tafsir of this verse, that Ammar bin Yasir was threatened, was tortured seriously by his master. So, because of this torture, they asked him to do kufr with Muhammad, and he said, what treatment of kufr? But after he was released, after he was left, he had to go to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I've done kufr, so and so happened. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, kayfa tajid qalbak? How do you feel in your heart? That is what you said. Did you say it from your heart? He said, mutma'innan bil iman. That is, my heart is filled with iman. My heart is what certain of iman. So iman is filling heart. I say that because of what? The torture. So it was said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, in adu fa'ud. If your masters continue to torture you the way they tortured you earlier, fa'ud. Go back to what you have said. Go back to what you have said. That is, say, kafar to Muhammad. So this verse was revealed. Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi illa man ukriya wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. That is, man kafara billahi fa'alayhi ghadabu min Allahi wa lahu adhabun azim. Whoever disbelieves in Allah, on him is what? Fa'alayhim ghadabu min Allah. Falahum adhabun azim. So there is what? Ghadab from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on them. So, walam adabun adim, and what? Great punishment. Illa man ukriya wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. Except the one that is forced, why is that rest assured. What is art? Rest assured. So when you read Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi illa man ukriya. So illa man ukriya is what? Is what is it now? So man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi falahum adhabun falahum fa'alim ghadabun allahi walahum adhabun adhim. So that is it. So then you come back to the istisna. Illa man ukriya wa qalbu mutma'innun bil iman. So not what follows, walakin man shara bil kufr sadran fa'alim ghadabun allahi walahum adhabun adhim. Dhalika li anna mustahabu al hayat al dunya على الآخرة وأن الله لا يأتي القوم الكافرين. Now the question is a woman that has a baby, that she's looking after day and night, and this has led her to combine Zuhr and Asri, Maghrib and Isha. So is she sinful by so doing? Well, there is no how the lady shouldn't would not look for an alternative. Maybe there is somebody that can that she can give the child to look after the child and observe Salah at the right time. Then she takes the child from the person after she has finished praying. But for her to make that a way of life, on I didn't underwrite a general, so this is not okay. But if this happens once in a while, then there is no harm. But for one to make it a data, a habit, so to say, so this is something that is wrong. So she may be sinful by so doing Allah. Somebody is a scholar, a respectable scholar, and is forced to do kufru. Don't say he's forced to do kufru, forget this issue of what I'm looking for positions. This is not forced. Allah said that. Huh? So I think I've read the verse again and again. So the one is what has to do with taking the person's life. Taking the person's life. So this is what is being talked about. Or maybe the person may be brutalized, so to say. Maybe his arm cut off and things like that. Huh? So this will be the darura that will make the person utter statement of kufr. That will make one utter a statement of kufr. But one who is doing it for worldly benefit, so that one has an excuse. You can recollect the author of Salman al-Farisi, رضي الله عنه, concerning two persons that were going, they were traveling. And when they got to a place, they said they would not allow them to pass until they offer a sacrifice. So the first one insisted that he would not offer anything, and he was killed. The second one was told that offer, only if it is what? A fly. And what? He offered a fly. And was allowed to do. So he became one of the inmates of hellfire as a result of that. So scholars commenting on this, Sheikh Al-Albani rahimahullah ta'ala, in some of his audio, said said that definitely the person did it willingly. No attempt to say what? Okay, only fly? Not more than that? No problem. Because ordinarily, if not that he did it willingly, he would have fallen under this verse, إِلَّا مَنْ أُكْرِيَا وَقَلْبُهُ مُتْمَئِنُّ بِالْإِيمَانِ. But since it was said in the Asab that he was going to hell, that shows he did it willingly. That shows he did it willingly. So and that's why when we are talking about and false, we should fear Allah. صبر الإنسان على نفسه بصيرا ولو ألقى معذيرا. At times you want to look for a soft landing for yourself. What you know that this is not the reality. Allah knows you more than you know yourself. So what is kufru is kufru. But let's assume that somebody has a genuine reason. Maybe he will be killed or his body will be brutalized if he doesn't utter statements of kufru. Then he utters it, not at what, save himself. Then in that case it falls under man kafara billahi min ba'di imani illa man ukriya wa qalbu mutma'innun bil iman. So it falls under that. The only one who does not have excuses, walakin man shaha bil kufri sadra fa'alim ghadab min Allah wa lahum adhabun adhim. So this is very, very important to take note of this. So the one who is a scholar and the person is threatened with death, threatened, and he sees the threat materializing, that is the threat is about to materialize, then in that case he utters a statement of kufru or he does something of kufru. So in this case there is nothing wrong with this. It's not simple. Now in the case of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, the ruler as at that time, Al-Ma'mun, then followed by Al-Mu'tasim, followed by Al-Wasik. These three rulers, they promoted the ideology of the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah are those who deny attributes of Allah. To the extent that they denied that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would talk. They believe that when you say Allah talks or Allah speaks, that means you are likening Allah to his creature. So they believe that what defeats Allah is that he should not share anything that has to do with any of his creatures. So they negated the attribute of what? Speech. So and this led them to say what? The Quran is not Kalamullah. So the Quran is what? Makhluk. Is a creation of Allah. You get the argument now. So when they say Quran is makhluk, what they are trying to say is Allah doesn't talk. So Allah never spoke the Quran. Because when you speak, it involves what? Letters and voice. So, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is greater than having what? Letters and what? Voice. You see the argument. So with that, they say what? Al-Quran makhluk. Laysa bi kalam illah. Laysa bi kalam illah. So the Jamia, a lot of attributes of Allah, all the attributes of Allah, they're not true. They're not true. So Imam Ahmad was tackling them seriously. Other a'imma as well were also firing these scholars. But these scholars, so to say, these scholars of Dalala, people like the time, during the time of Imam Ahmad, there was somebody called Ibn Abi Du'aj. Ahmad is only, is also what? Ahmad. Ahmad Ibn Abi Du'aj. He was the one, the scholar of the government. He was the one selling this bad idea to the government. So before him, there was somebody called Bishr al-Marisi. Before him, he was also spreading this. So before Ibn Abi Du'aj, there was somebody also called what? Called Al-Karabisi. Al-Karabisi, not he wasn't a Jami. But to say what? Lafzi bil Quran makhluk. Lafzi bil Quran makhluk. He said this is permissive. What does that mean? Lafzi bil Quran makhluk has two meanings. It may mean, as I'm talking now, this is what? Lafz. I'm pronouncing what? I'm producing sound. So this sound that I'm producing is what makhluk is created by Allah. I'm created, eh? My voice is also what? Created. So the letters and voice coming out of me are what? Created. So this is the meaning of what? Lafzi bil Quran makhluk. Now bil Quran, I'm reciting the Quran. You can hear my voice reciting the Quran. So my own voice is makhluk. But the Quran is what? Kalamullah bil makhluk. Somebody that says lafzi bil Quran makhluk, it can mean the Quran itself. And it can also mean my own voice. So Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala believed that Karabisi is under the what? The clause or the sentence lafzi bil Quran makhluk to say the same thing that the Jahmiyyah are saying that the Quran is makhluk. So Imam Ahmad warned against him and he asked that he should be boycotted. And all the scholars of Sunnah at that time, they boycotted Al-Karabisi to the extent that when he died, his janazah was only attended by people that can be counted on the fingers. So for those who really champion the case of Jahmiyyah are people like Bishr al-Marisi, people like Ahmad ibn Abi Duat. These two people, they really championed this. So Imam Ahmad maintained his stand. He was tortured during the time of Ma'mun, though he never met him. Because Ma'mun was in Khurasan, so to say, Imam Ahmad was in what? Was in Baghdad. And he ordered that Imam Ahmad should be brought to him. So on the way to Khurasan, the information came that Ma'mun is dead, or was dead. So but the one who took over after him, Al-Mu'tasim, continued the same method, punishing the scholars of Sunnah for what? For not saying Al-Quran makhluk. Punishing them seriously. So a lot of people were in prison, some of them died and things like that. So when this torture was too much, so a lot of them had to submit by saying what? Al-Quran makhluk. So people like Ibn al-Madini and many others, Yahya bin Ma'in, they submitted. But Imam Ahmad, this is where I'm going. Imam Ahmad maintained his stance that the Quran is not makhluk. So he was tortured seriously during the time of Mu'tasim, likewise during the time of Al-Wafiq. It was during this time that there was a trial. That trial was, some people came to him and said, oh Ahmad, look at what these people are saying is kufru. Can't we revolt against them? Imam Ahmad said, no. Adima. Avoid the blood of the Muslims. What you are facing now is only affecting us. When we make it general, it affects the whole community. And this will be more disastrous. Let us continue to manage this. And they continue to manage like that. So but those scholars who answered that Quran makhluk, that they were forced, surely. Imam Ahmad boycotted all of them. He boycotted all of it. His closest friend, then, Yahya bin Ma'in, was also boycotted. To the extent that when Imam Ahmad was at the point of a death, Yahya bin Ma'in came visiting. He was trying to speak with Imam Ahmad, and Imam Ahmad was looking at another side. So, he was not saying, but this thing that you were forced to do that, you were forced to do this. Imam Ahmad was just looking at the other side. When Ibn Ma'in left the room, he was going out. So he was kind of dragging his feet. So Imam Ahmad said, he told Imam Ahmad, the hadith of Ammar, that he is kaifa tajid nafsak, call back, say what mutma'inna bi iman. Qala fa in adu fa'uj. So the hadith Ammar, this is what we rely on. He didn't respond. So when Ibn Ma'in left, Imam Ahmad said, Abid Ammar. Ammar was being tortured. You people are only threatened. You are threatened. So Yahya bin Ma'in had the feeling that Ahmad has spoken. So he came back saying, what did he say? He said, Dana related to him what Imam Ahmad said. That he said, Ammar was being tortured. That is, you people, you are threatened that you will be tortured. You submitted sincerely. That is what the fiqh of Ahmad, that is Ibn Ma'in, also acknowledged it. I think Ibn Jawzi, in his book, I think Manaqib Imam Ahmad Rasul, narrated some of this incident here. So, this is the reason why they called Imam Ahmad Imam Ahli Sunnah. Because it was the saint that time that really that Allah used as Sabbath to what? To save the people of Sunnah. Because after Al-Wafiq, Al-Mutawakkil came. Al-Mutawakkil changed his own stance and he followed the position of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala. And the good thing about this Imam is that he never took any political post from them. He himself never took any political post. Yes, he was asked to provide those rules, but he himself did not say, okay, I'm the Qadi of so-and-so and so-and-so. Because he felt that if he takes, or if he takes, he will not be able to tell the truth. He will not be able to tell the truth. He preferred to what? To be... So, this position of Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala was really appreciated by a lot of scholars. Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen commenting on this, he said, Imam Ahmad in the time of fitna is like Abu Bakri during the time of what? Ridda. You Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used Abu Bakri to rescue Islam, to rescue the Muslims during the time of apostasy. Allah used Ahmad as well. So and that's why he called him Imam Sunnah. Not that his Akira is different from that of Imam Malik, Imam Shafi, Sufyan al-Thawri and the likes. But because a big trial happened during his time and he stood his ground. So the answer is that those who are, if they are tortured, the utter statement of Kufru, we will say what? They have what? We will say they have become a kafir. Because they have what? Evidence. They have evidence. But which one is better? For them to be tortured to death and maintain their position, and for them to compromise and set the point of view. So undoubtedly for them to be tortured, and what? For them to maintain their position and tortured to death is preferred. Because with this, some people would know that what? This is the truth. This is the truth. But if you compromise, only very few people will know that what he has said is not the right thing. Only very few people will know that. A lot of people will be misled that eventually he accepted that he was wrong. Eventually he accepted that he was wrong. And that's why some of these a'imma, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala have mercy on them, they try for the deen. Like Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala. So he maintained some of his position to the extent that what? He was jailed and tortured. And despite all these, he never called for revolt against the rulers. Never called for revolt against the rulers. Today people who are calling for revolt against rulers is because rulers are denying people their worldly benefits. Well, like it's happening. It's because rulers are denying people their worldly benefits. So this is something that is clear, that the scholars of Sunnah, you won't see them calling for a vote against the rulers because the rulers have not done this, they've not provided good water, they've not provided the social amenities. No. They never called for a vote against them. But today, people who are championing this is because of the rulers, if the denied people their rights, they've done this. Despite the fact that there are hadith that have let us know that the rulers will do something like this, that you should be patient. Not that Islam is functioning what they are doing, but they are going to be punished for that, for teaching the people. But today, we throw away the Sharia recommendation, we follow the Western recommendation, and with this, we throw our society into chaos, like what they are facing in North, in Libya, what they are facing in Egypt, Tunisia, Syria, Yemen, Sudan, Algeria. It's like these people don't learn at all. The fitna that some people are yet to come out of. Some people are trying to watch enter the same problem because some people are what pushing them from the West that don't fall for them. Look at France, for instance, that the government was trying to ban protests in some areas, in about 10 areas in France, protest is banned. And in some countries they are what they are jailing people to protest during their government. And that's why you should look at the Sharia of Allah. Don't be deceived by people who have put on the garb of religion. Wallahi, they are people of dunya. They are looking for dunya as well. But they know that the only way they can deceive the masses is for them to address them in the name of a deen. So Wallahu a'lam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت